The Rudy Valley Hour with Billy Burke, George Givett, Paul Garretts, Miller and Mantan, the Four Squires. This is Rudy Valley and Company. Tonight, a diversified list of familiar names. Billy Burke, outstanding portrayer of fluttery matrons in an original sketch by Keith Fowler. George Givett, the Greek ambassador of goodwill, a droll fellow whose waggeries add much to the gaiety of all other nations as well. Paul Garrett, back again for another of his sly excursions in humor. Miller and Mantan, new to radio but wise to the ways of musical comedy and vaudeville. Miller of Miller and Lyles and Shuffle Along fame. Mantan, a very funny little man. The Four Squires, four young fellows whose harmonies and humor we found refreshing on our last visit to Hollywood in a repeat performance. Once over lightly, please, John Heaston, Billy Burke, George Givett, Paul Garretts, Miller and Mantan, the Four Squires, all of whom go to make up the Rudy Valley Hour. Act One, presented by the makers of Royal Desserts, Royal Gelatin, and Royal Pudding.
Snowflakes in the sky, and geese are flying high, but there's April in my heart again. The maple leaves are bare, but someone's learned to care, but there's April in my happy heart again. The leaves lie on the ground, the world just turned around. It isn't fall at all, you see. It's spring that I have found. There's frost in Central Park. At 5, it's almost dark. What's the difference when you've heard love's sweet amen? There's snowflakes in the sky, and geese are flying high. But there's April in my heart again.
Popular medley, April in My Heart. You're going to see a lot of me. I'm simple and sweet.
Blushes in tender repose, so sweet, simple and sweet. You're in each tomb, the nightingale sings to the moon, so sweet, simple and sweet. If you should go, my castles will tumble, I know. My heart would start missing a beat. You're all I love, my angel, my heaven above, complete, simple and sweet.
Welcome visitors, my old friend George Givett. George has apparently settled on California as his permanent mailing address and has gone in for ranching in a big way. Of course, he's liable to be trooping the world at any minute. But right now, he can be found almost any afternoon among his walnut trees, of which I understand he has a full set. The Greek ambassador of goodwill, George Givett.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings, Rumdi Wallace. Tonight I'm going to explain two big changes which have come into my life recently. In the first place, for those of you who come in late and who do not know about my restaurant, the Acropolis No. 7, which is no longer the Acropolis No. 7, but is now the Acropolis No. 77B. It used to be located in New York City, Broadway and 42 Street. It is now in Tarzana, Chloroformia, which is very close to Los Angeles, Chloroformia. The other night, I rented my Acropolis No. 77B to my older brother, Alte. My older brother, Alte, is 96 years old. 96 years of ages. And yet every time he see a beautiful lady, he say, oh, what I wouldn't give to be 83 again. He celebrated my Acropolis No. 77B, his golden wedding anniversary. 50 years married life. The woman he married was so unpretty, she was so non-beautiful, she could sue nature for damages. You have often heard of people's faces being wrinkled. Hers was accordion flipped. Before they were married, they went together for 7 years. 7 years! The reason was, she wouldn't marry him while he was intoxicated, and he wouldn't marry her while he was sober. The parson said, there are three great peaks in a man's life, birth, marriage, and death. He said, you have been born, you are now married, so now is only one thing left for you to do. You see? The parson said $2. The groom said, I don't got $2, but I give you $1 and let you kiss the bride. The parson took one look at the bride and gave him 50 cents to call it off. You see? Three bridesmaids held up the bride's dress. Two safety pins held up the groom's pants. When it came time to kiss the bride, everybody wanted to go home. The best man was the guy who hollered, supper is ready. I never saw such hungry people in my life. They served two kinds of chicken. Chicken crickets and chicken fricassee. Both are very healthful and digestible. Like the worm to the frog to the snake to the pig to the man to the worm, you see? But they sure did serve small portions. I had to ask the waiter to close the window because my steak blew off the plate three times. The wedding cake was made to represent a sip, a bottle sip, a three-decker. The first deck was strumbaris and bananas. The second deck was whipped cream and French tapestry. The third deck was carcanat cospedor, like the pie. They put the wedding cake in the parlor. When nobody was looking, Mr. Taken Up, his four little boys, was sneak in the parlor and sing the sip. You see? The presents was beautiful. Oh, they were more than beautiful. They were kalousy. Every kind of silverware. Pullman Company in every hotel in town. The groom made $50 a week. The first week, he gave his wife $45 and kept $5 for himself. Second week, he kept $45 and gave his wife $5. She says, how am I going to get along on this? He says, I don't know. I had an awful hard time last week. You see? My older brother, Alta, he sure got his trembles. He paid a visit to his physician, Dr. Cure de Torso. He says, doctor, he says, can you make me for to be young again? Can you give me a touch of Ponce de Leon? Sure, said Dr. Cure de Torso. I have three different fountains of youth. For $25,000, I dip you in fountain number one, which will make you for to be 50 years old. If I dip you in fountain number two, for $35,000, it's make you for to be 25 years of age. Ah, but for $50,000, I make you for to be 17 years of ages. 17 years of age, cried my older brother Alte. Ha! That's for me. The operation was performed and successful. 2 weeks later, Dr. Curatosa was meet my older brother out on the street. The doctor says, "Hello, old man." My older brother says, "What do you mean, old man? I dance Big Apple. I make Suzy Q. I look for Trisket to Trasket. I go for long Lambeth walk. I am practically a zitter louse." "Oh, yes," says the doctor. "Well, how about my 50,000 bucks dollars? "Oh," says my older brother Alte, "you have to talk to my father. I am a miner now." "How do you like that?" "Well, sir, the Greeks has got a word for that."
There's a song that Homer sings of Sparta's men and Athens' kings. Well, all their sandals sprouted wings. The Greeks got a word for that, and they called it love. And they called it love. Paris was a Trojan boy who won fair Helen. To his joy he rode a horse that conquered Troy. The Greeks got a word for that, and they called it love. And they call it love. This is no Grecian garden with marble stairs, but say, who cares? We don't need any fountain with slaves around for what we found. There's a kingdom in your kiss, and Plato never knew such bliss. What's history compared to this? The Greeks got a word for that. And they call it love, and they call it love. Greater sculptors ever known, they chiseled Venus out of stone. How patiently she stands alone. The Greeks got a word for that, and they called it love, and they called it love. Socrates forgot to teach why Venus had no arms to reach. Well, why was Venus such a peach? The Greeks got a word for that, and they called it love, and they called it love. This is no big arena with Grecian games for Grecian dames. We don't need any statues of yesterday to point the way. Hercules was some athlete. At my Acropolis he would eat. I gave him borscht made from a beet. The Greeks got a word for that, and they called it love, and they called it love.
Final warning. The most...
It's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September, and the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, and I haven't got time for that waiting game. For the days do dwindle down to just a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'd spend with you. These golden days I'd spend.
Presenting now, Miss Billie Burke. Miss Burke, currently appearing in The Young in Heart, is unquestionably the first flighty lady of the screen. Her portrayals of slightly goofy matrons are a joy and a delight and a boon to the box office. Tonight she appears with Lindsay McHarry in an original sketch by Keith Fowler, Mrs. Weems and the Wanderlust. Billie Burke in Mrs. Weems and the Wanderlust. Mrs. Lucy Weems, after years of devotion to her club, her garden, and her husband, in that order, has become a victim of the travel germ. As the scene opens, we find her at the desk of a travel bureau, smiling brightly at the clerk.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Please, may I see what you had in tickets?
Certainly, madam. I'll be more than delighted to serve you.
Why, that's charming. Mm. You have no idea how pleased I am to find a man who really loves his job. There's so much good in the best of us and so much bad in the worst of us that we should all love our jobs. Mm. Do you ever whistle while you work?
Very seldom. Are there any special tickets you'd like to see?
Oh, I'd like to see all of them. I can look at tickets all day long because I'm simply fascinated by tickets. Mm. A ticket to me is more than a mere ticket. It's a magic carpet, the kind that Alibaba used to rub when he wanted to go places. Or was it Sinbad?
Aladdin, madam.
Oh, well, those names always confuse me. Mm. You see, when I went to finishing school, I took Latin instead of Greek.
Are there any special magic carpet you'd like to see?
Oh, I'm so excited, I hardly know what to tell you. This is actually quite an epic in my life. Mm. I've decided to break away from the hum and the drum and turn myself into a wanderer, one who flings care to the winds and places her girdle round the globe.
Might I offer a suggestion? My suggestion, our Bermuda trip is very popular.
Bermuda? Mm. Oh, no, I don't think I should care for that. Onions don't agree with me, and Bermuda is just a hotbed of onions. My grocer told me about it.
Naturally, your grocer knows best. Well, what about the South Seas, the paradise of the Pacific, Hawaii?
Well, you'll probably think I'm a perfectly dreadful person.
No.
But pineapples don't agree with me either, and Hawaii is simply overrun with pineapples.
Your grocer told you?
No, my butcher. Mm. Of course, my grocer may have told him.
Yes, well, we'll try again and see if we can't find a place that agrees with you. Now, what about...
Nothing with cucumbers.
You know, I have an idea that we're approaching this problem from the wrong direction. Why don't you tell me where you'd really like to go?
Oh, does it actually matter to you? Do you really care?
Well, not in a personal sense.
Oh, poor fellow. Well, why should you? What can men know of a woman's dreams? How can they understand that we are as sensitive as a harp and a bow is drawn across it?
Really, madam...
Chadwick, that's my husband, Chadwick Weems, the man I married.
Yes.
He's no different from the rest. I try to share things with him, try to make him a pal, but he's just a husband. Mm. Of course, we can't have everything, and if we did, we couldn't take it with us.
This is all very interesting, but...
Oh, thank you. I told Chadwick I wanted to take a trip, and he thought it was a splendid idea.
Yes.
He rushed to the attic immediately and started dusting off my trunks. Mm. But when I asked him where I should go, he said, "It doesn't matter to me, Lucy. As far as I'm concerned, you can go to..." Well, he meant I could go just anywhere.
I don't wish to intrude, but did you ever come to a decision?
Yes, at long last, but it was a dreadful struggle. I was pulled hither and yon like a bat in a belfry. The Alps cried out to me. Did the Alps ever cry out to you?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, the air is like wine there. And I've always been fond of a glass of wine, just one before dinner.
Yeah.
And all those darling yodelers, yodeling to their mates in the treetops. Mm. I have nothing but scorn for people who keep them in cages.
Yes, Switzerland was an excellent choice, madam.
But I'm not going to Switzerland.
No.
I dismissed the idea. Vienna cried out to me.
You have a receptive ear.
Yes, as a child I took lessons on the vibraphone. Oh, who could resist Vienna? Vienna with its wooden shoes and windmills and... Well, that doesn't sound right. Where was I?
You had taken a slight detour into Holland.
Oh, you see, my brain has become quite cosmopolitan. What is Vienna noted for?
Waltzes, madam.
Oh, how silly of me to forget waltzes. And they agree with me, too. Vienna, the birthplace of the Lambeth Waltz, nestled in the land of joy de vivre. Well, it may be called La Belle Vienna.
Now we're getting somewhere. Your selection of Vienna.
Oh, it wouldn't be fair if I let you think that was a selection. Mm. The urge for Vienna is just a delicate memory among my souvenirs. Russia cried out to me.
You have very few quiet moments, madam.
Now, where have I heard those words before? Oh, yes, I know, Chadwick Weems, the man I married.
Yeah.
It's a small world, isn't it? Well, as I was saying, I heard the call of Russia, the land of the midnight oil. Russia, where the dawn comes up like thunder out of Minsk and Pinsk.
I don't suppose you're actually going to Russia.
Oh, how intuitive of you. You positively read me like an open mirror. Of course I'm not going to Russia.
Well, here we are.
Yes, aren't we? But you mustn't be discouraged. I finally fought the problem out with myself. I placed the Alps in my right hand and Vienna in my left hand. Well, I don't recall just what I did with Russia, but I weighed them all carefully. Then I decided to go to England.
Did England, by any chance, cry out to you?
Oh, it shouted. It said, "Lucy Weems, come to me. Come to bonny England." So I said I'd be delighted. We owe so much to England, don't you think?
No,
It gave us bulldogs and potato chips and Noel Coward. Mm. Well, of course, in return, we let them use our language.
Well, now, Now that your destination is settled, we can work out the details of the trip. Had you thought of how you want to go over?
No, yes, on a boat.
That's fine. Any particular boat?
Well, now that you mention it, no. After all, who am I to make demands when Columbus was willing to take potluck?
Well, I'd suggest this. The Queen Mary will be sailing next week.
Oh, the Queen herself? Why, that's just the thing. You may tell the Queen that I'd be delighted to join her party.
You don't understand, madam. The Queen Mary is a boat.
A boat? Well, that must be very puzzling to the royal family.
If you act now, I can secure a reservation for you.
Oh, I'm sure you can. But before I go down to the sea in a ship, I must know one thing. How old is the captain of the boat?
I couldn't tell you that.
Oh, you couldn't? Why? Is he sensitive about it?
I've never heard his age. Why do you ask?
Well, you may think it strange, but I'd prefer a middle-aged captain to a young captain. When I eat at a man's table, I want to be sure he won't leer at me between the cheese and the crackers.
I assure you, madam, that you need have no fear.
Oh, I'm not afraid. I'm a woman of the world, definitely. Chadwick and I, we move in a very sophisticated set. We frequently play Michigan Rummy when our other friends are content with Hopching. I only wanted to know that the captain of my boat would be a settled man, no marine philanderer with a sweetheart in every port.
There are no ports between here and England.
No?
No. You can get on the boat and go straight to Southampton.
Oh, you're teasing me. Everyone knows that Southampton is on Long Island. I want to go to England.
If you'd only let me explain.
I'm sure you have a lovely explanation. It's part of your career. But you can't fly in the face of geography. It's been going on too long.
But, madam...
Any man in the street and most of the women will tell you that all the Hamptons are on Long Island. Southampton and East Hampton and West Hampton, Oyster Bay Hampton and Jamaica.
You have a terrific grasp of geography, but there happen to be two Southamptons. I'm sending you to the English one.
Oh, you're positive. You can imagine how dull I'd feel if I told all my friends I was going to England and they got postcards from the Flushing World's Fair.
Listen, madam, do I look honest?
Well,
do I look honest?
Yes, of course, it's only a wild guess. I could tell more if you'd let me read your palm. I always read palms when our garden club gives... I call myself Fatima Weems, and I'm distinctly uncanny.
In this case, it won't be necessary. Just take my word that everything will be all right. Get on the Queen Mary and go to England, then get back from the Queen Mary and come home.
But I don't plan to come home immediately. Chadwick, my husband, believes that once I'm away, I should stay away for a while. So I will remain until I become part of the real England, so touchingly described in the works of David Dickens, you know, the man who wrote Charles Copperfield.
I see. Then you must announce how long you mean to stay when you get your passport.
Oh, must I get a passport?
You can't travel abroad without one.
Passport. Oh, how I dread it. Chadwick had one taken when he went abroad, and after I saw it, I knew it was all for the best that we had no children.
Yes, a passport is a bit of an ordeal.
But I will carry on. I will press forward through adversity and hardship and passports and sleet and ice. To sum it up in one word, excelsior. I hope it's the right word.
Oddly enough, it is. Now we've got you on the Queen Mary with a middle-aged captain. Any other requests?
Yes, I'd prefer a stateroom with a southern exposure.
Why?
Well, because I'm carrying two of my most delicate potted geraniums to England, and they have always had a southern exposure.
Geraniums? Madam, that's ridiculous.
Oh, you wouldn't say that if you understood how sensitive they are. I am the president of our local garden club, and I am practically a sister to the better-known geraniums.
I didn't mean to criticize your knowledge of flowers, but the idea is a bit unusual.
Well, these geraniums are to be a tribute from our garden club to the king. I intend to throw them at his feet, without the pots, of course. I don't want to be mistaken for a bomb.
Oh, all right. One stateroom with southern exposure. Does that take care of everything?
Yes, everything. I can practically feel the waves under my bow. I can smell the tang of the salt air.
I'm glad we finally got this thing straightened out. Now, if you'd be kind enough to wait a very few moments.
Oh, moments. What a moment when adventure in England and the cricket fields of Ireland are just around the corner.
Exactly. I knew you'd feel that way, so I'll take this opportunity to fill out a schedule for another lady who wants to go to the Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a hole in the ground, isn't it? I mean in a nice way, of
course. Yes.
Out in the West, I believe, where cowboys have cowgirls and Indians have feathers.
Your geography is still under control.
Oh, it must be awfully exciting to drive through a canyon and come out in a stampede of Indians. I once drove through the Holland Canyon, but I only came out in New Jersey. The natives were friendly, but they didn't wear feathers. The climate, I suppose.
Yes, perhaps. I'm sure that your trip to England...
Wait.
Wait for what?
Wait for me. We're alone, aren't we?
We are, but I fail to see you.
I feel a mood creeping. The Grand Canyon is crying out to me.
But, madam, your trip to England...
Oh, let the dead past bury it, England. When England cried out, I must have been confused by the accent. Hey, oh, the king may grow his own geraniums. I will go to the Grand Canyon, where the poor little doggies howl so dismally, where the redskin always gets his buffalo. I will let America see me first.
If you act before midnight this Monday, you can get rich, colorful Christmas cards at an unheard-of bargain. These beautifully designed cards contain no...
Interlude ended. Taking up where we left off with the four squires, Paul Garrett and Miller and Mantan waiting in the wings for...
The Rudy Valley Hour, Act Two, brought to you by Fleischmann's Yeast.
We bring you now an increasingly important member of our company, Paul Garrett. Paul, an amiable young teller of stories, has built up a considerable audience for himself since he first appeared on the Valley Hour. His humor is sly, his wit ingratiating. We think you will like Paul Garrett.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before I begin, I've been requested to make a short announcement. A $10 bill was lost in the studio, and we found it. So if the owner will please form a line in the lobby after the broadcast, we'll give it back. Well, here we are again, aren't we? I have a few little stories for you this evening. First, I have a little story about a rabbit. This rabbit was a mother rabbit, and she had a little baby, but she only had just the one, and she was very, very fond of it, of course, and she was a little afraid to leave it home alone, so she always used to carry it around with her. She's carried around in her teeth, and the little rabbit kept growing up, of course, and got bigger and heavier, and it got to be quite a load on her teeth, so she tried to figure out another way of carrying it, so she finally figured that she'd carry it on top of her head. So she practiced around home a little. It seemed to work out all right. So one day she went out in the woods with the little rabbit on top of her head. And when all the other little animals saw her, they said, "My, my, doesn't Mrs. Rabbit look nice with her hair up?" A peculiar thing happened. Yes. Hey, peculiar thing happened to me this morning. I received a letter, but it was delivered by mistake to the lady next door. But she sent it over to me all right. But she'd written across the envelope, "Opened by mistake," to see what was inside. I'm glad I got it, though, because it was from Dougie. Dougie is my little nephew back in Appleton, Wisconsin, and we corresponded quite a lot. He's a pretty bright little chap, quite a comedian, too. In fact, Dougie and I used to have a little routine we did for company. I'd say to Dougie, "What do you know about farm products, Dougie?" And he'd say, "I know a lot about it." And I'd say, "All right, Dougie, what comes after buttermilk?" And he'd say, "Butter." And then I'd say, "What comes after butter?" And he'd say, "Cheese." And I'd say, "What comes after cheese?" And he'd say, "Mice." We used to take bows and everything. He's a cute little guy. He's getting along very well in school, too. The other day, the teacher was having his class write compositions. He made one up about pigs. It was really quite a composition. I can remember most of it. He said, "Pigs are very nice animals, especially the little ones, which are pink. Little pigs don't have to wash their faces in the morning. Pigs wash themselves in mud. The more mud a little pig gets, the cleaner his mother thinks he is. Pigs have the most fun." He's really quite a boy. He wants me to come home for Christmas. I'd like to because we have a lot of fun. Last year I played Santa Claus. I had the beard and the toys and the suit and everything, and I thought I was doing pretty well, too. And when Dougie came into the room, I said to him in a big, deep voice, I said, "Dougie, tell me, have you been a good boy all year?" And he said, "What's the matter, Uncle Paul? Have you got a cold?" He really had me there. That wasn't bad enough, but when I put the toys down by the tree, I leaned over a candle and my whiskers caught fire. Dougie got a big kick out of that. He wants me to do it again this year. Well, I guess it's about time that all of us Uncle Pauls are thinking about all of our little Duggies and their Christmas presents at that. So I think I'll run along now and do a bit of Christmas shopping. But before I go, I've got a little story I want to tell you. A story about a fellow whose car broke down way out in the country. He walked over to a farmhouse and knocked on the door. There he was, waiting for somebody to come in. It was raining awfully hard, and he was getting soaking wet. Finally, the farmer opened the door, and he said, "What do you want?" The fellow said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to stay here tonight." And the farmer said, "Well, if you really want to, it's all right with me. Stay there." And he slammed the door. And the fellow was really getting wet. But the farmer came back out in a minute, and he said, "I was only kidding. Come on in, sit down, dry off. We'll have something to eat pretty soon." He said, "You better stay here tonight. It's pretty bad weather out." So the fellow said, "Well, that's very nice of you," but he really couldn't figure out to himself how they were going to manage, because there was a farmer and his wife and four children, and they only had a small cabin, and there were apparently only two rooms. But after supper, the farmer's wife started putting the kids to bed. She took the two youngest ones, and she tucked them into the bed. She sat there for a few minutes rocking and humming. She said, and in a little while, the kids fell asleep. Well, as soon as they were sound asleep, she took the covers off of them very gently and laid them over on the floor in the corner, still sound asleep, very happy. Then she got the other two kids, and she said, "Come on, it's time for bed." So she tucked them in very nice, and she started to hum a little to them, too. She said, "Sleep, baby, sleep, so, so, so." And finally, the bed was nice and warm, and they went to sleep very quickly, too. And when they were sound asleep, she took the covers off of them very gently and picked them out of bed and put them over on the floor in the corner with the other two. Well, there they were, all sound asleep and very happy on the floor. So the fellow said, my, my, that's really a fine solution to the housing problem. And the farmer says, yep. He says, well, I guess we better turn in, too. He said, you can sleep here, and we'll go in the other room. So they all went to bed. And the next morning, when he woke up, the farmer and his wife were in the bed, and he was on the floor with the rest of the kids.
We pose a question. Timely question that deserves a careful answer. Last week, we introduced a 15-year-old girl singer, Jane Warren. We said then that her voice was one of the most unusual and most promising we'd ever heard. Your reception seemed to indicate that you agreed with us. Through permission of Samuel Goldwyn, Jane is with us again tonight and will sing Indian Love Call and a duet with your humble servant, Toujours L'Amour, in a medley of Rudolph Frimmel's loveliest tunes. Knock, 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 knocking at your heart. There's no use in talk, 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 or bidding her depart. For the only lock, lock, lock that's proof against her charms is the olden lock, is the golden lock. It's the lock that locks her in your arms.
When a maid knock, 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 knocking at your heart.
Once you let her in, let romance begin, then she never, never will.
Grandpa Chief-Chicky-Cotem took Grandma out to the totem, totem, tom, tom, totem, tom, tom. First they'd move their feet very blue like, the drum would beat at a true like, totem, tom, tom, totem, tom, tom. Then pretty soon each engine was engine, his throat with fire water tinging, and faster round the totem they flew. But labor on all higher than sleepy, they'd go back home to their teepee. Totem, tom, tom. Totem, tom, tom.
Will you answer too?
life when you hear my love call ringing clear. And I hear you run to the echo so dear. Then I will know the love will come through. You belong to me.
On a previous visit to Hollywood, we encountered the Four Squires, a group of young men with a unique way of presenting a song. They sing and they play in a manner that is all their own. For their first effort tonight, Masses in the Cold, Cold Ground, with variations.
Rattle on a tin can, shinny up a tree. Here we go, and a one, two, three.
Mournful song.
How'd you like to love me?
While the mockingbirds are singing, happy as the day am long.
Shoot the liquor to me.
Where the ivy am creeping or the grassy mound.
I'm a jitterbug.
There, oh man, I'm sleeping in the cold, cold ground.
Hot papa.
Down in the cornfield, hear that mournful sound. All the darkies am weeping, masses in the cold, cold ground.
Massa,
where is your massa?
We wants massa.
You say you want your massa.
Where is massa?
Massa is a fugitive.
We wants massa.
Massa is a mess.
Dear, dear, where can the massa be? Dear, dear, where can the massa be? Dear, dear, where can the massa be? Where in the world can he be?
Oh, tell me, dear,
dear, dear, where can the massa be?
Dear,
dear, where can the massa be?
Dear,
dear, where can the massa be? Where in the world can he be?
Vance is in the ground. He's a miner in the ground. A 49er down the hole with a spade digging coal. He ain't afraid. Vance is a digging in the coal black mine.
That's the way the Vance gets his fuel.
The Forest Choir's treatment of another old favorite, the Prisoner's Song.
Prisoner sat in a jail. He had no money for to pay his bail. A letter from his darling came in the morning mail, and as he read it over, you could hear him sadly wail. Oh, I wish I had the wings of an angel. Over these bare prison walls I would fly. I would fly into the arms of my darling, and there I would stay till I died. I wish I had my sweetheart here beside me. Still, I wouldn't wish her such a fate. She's too darn sweet, and if I had been such a rascal, she wouldn't have 100 years to wait. If I had only stayed home at home and listened to calling all cars, but I just had to roam, and I'd climb down behind these bars, and I'll think of like a Mrs. Fiscus reminiscing in my old day pastime. So listen, listen to the moral of my story. Crime doesn't pay, what a pity. Crime doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay, what a pity. Crime doesn't pay.
Now listen, you guys, I ain't talking. See,
I think I'll get away with that little rock.
Well, we can talk.
Give him the
word. Give him the word.
Flatfoot will do it.
Oh, no.
Right, I mustn't think of her.
No,
the music,
I'll talk.
Maestro, please.
I'll talk anything.
Hey, Jiggers, the cops. Here comes the cops.
Calling all cars, calling all
hey,
cars.
Hey, they got Butch.
What?
They got Butch.
Oh, gee. Too bad. Well, let's go get a root beer float.
Oh, goody, goody, goody. Hurry, fellas.
It was not so many years ago that the first really successful colored musical comedy burst upon a pleased Broadway. The name of it, Shuffle Along. I'm sure many of you remember it. The stars, Miller and Lyles. Steve Miller also wrote the book, and he went on from there to other successes, notably Runnin' Wild and Blackbirds. Now with another partner, Cesar Mantan, Steve Miller makes his first appearance on a major network. Introducing Steve Miller and Cesar Mantan.
Don't follow me.
Where you gonna pay me that money you owe me, Caesar?
I told you I was broke.
You ain't got nothing?
Not a cent.
You can have nothing longer than anybody I ever saw.
It ain't no harm to be broke.
Maybe it ain't. What do you want to hang around me for? Man broke like you ought to associate with himself alone.
You talking so smart. How much money has you got?
I got more than you.
How much is that?
Why, you owe me $5.
Is that all you got? Boy, you ain't got nothing.
I need that money, too. I want to pay the dues in the lodge I belong to.
What lodge is that?
The Revolution Lodge.
Revolution Lodge?
Don't you know what revolution is?
Revolution is war.
Oh, you talking about the old-style revolution. I'm talking about the new style. Revolution means...
Yes?
...that a man comes from a monkey.
Oh, you don't believe in that old foolishness, do you?
I didn't believe it at first, but the more I see of you, the suspiciouser I get.
Now, yeah, don't you call me no monkey.
I didn't call you a monkey.
All right, then.
I wouldn't call you a monkey.
Well,
I wouldn't insult the monkeys. I don't know what you is, therefore I don't know what you come from. You is too little for a man and too big for a monkey. Look here, what did you come from anyhow?
I come from Georgia.
I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about your generators. What did you spring from?
Right out the cotton fields of Georgia.
You're kidding.
Why?
Cotton fields don't produce nothing but cotton, and cotton is white.
Well, all cotton ain't white.
Bound to be white.
Some cotton is black.
When is cotton black?
When it's dyed.
When it's what?
When it's dyed.
Yeah, but you are living, though.
Now, you talking so smart, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe in re-incremation?
What's that?
Is you a re-incremator?
No, sir, I'm an African. I got to make a parallel to you so you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to prove to you that everything changes. Now, for instance, take smoke. Where does smoke come from?
Smoke comes from a chimney.
I ain't talking about what it comes through. Talking about what it comes from. Smoke comes from coal.
Smoke comes from fire.
All right, then what the fire come from?
Fire comes from the stove.
But what put the fire in the stove?
The janitor.
You're evading my question again. You know good and well that smoke comes from coal. Smoke is coal, has been, was once.
It can't be. Coal is heavy, and smoke is light.
Smoke ain't light.
Smoke is light.
Smoke is dark.
I ain't talking about the complexion of the smoke. I'm talking about the weight of the smoke.
Oh, you don't weigh smoke?
You do weigh smoke.
All right, then how much does smoke weigh?
Well, now that's according to the size of the smoke. Now, smoke like you ought to weigh around about...
Yeah. Don't you call me no smoke, I'll break your jaw.
Don't you hit me, because I'm a sick man.
You is what?
I'm a sick man, that's
you is the most complainingest man I ever did met. What's wrong with you now?
No, I'm just sick, that's all.
You all time imagine that you got something you ain't got and couldn't have even if you had it.
Boy, I got it.
Got what?
A kind of a feeling that...
Oh, I had that once.
Yeah?
Yes, a sort of a... and every time it feel like it, but instead...
That's it.
Well, what are you doing first?
I seen myself a doctor. He took and give me...
Take him, they'll kill you. Who was the physician what described that?
A doctor to live up...
He ain't no good.
No?
No, the doctor you want is a doctor what's got the
organ. I had him. He didn't do me no good. He's one...
I know. But he's got a little, what looks like what you take...
I don't believe in them kind of treatments.
Well, in that case, what you need is one of them cutting doctors. A sturgeon. A doctor to cooperate on you. One that takes a little, and makes a cut in your... Which
I had mine taken out last year. You see, I thought maybe...
it couldn't be that. Why don't you try...
I tried two boxes of them.
No, not them kind.
No.
I mean the kind what on the outside. They got what's wrapped around with a whole box will cost...
That's too much money. I want to get something to call...
You can't get them that cheap. Why don't you try some of those my brother took when he was suffering from what he caught when he was...
Was he out there?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go...
He did, but he come back.
What's he doing now?
He's working.
Where?
He's working down there.
Is that so?
Yeah. He been there since, started in on a salary up, and I bought it paying him.
That ain't no money at all. Of course, I guess he...
No, you got him wrong. Well, he gonna get married.
No, he ain't.
Yeah, he gonna marry the daughter
She's
of...
She's a nice girl. But let me tell you something. Come here. One time I
that
heard...
That was her sister. You see, I'm keeping company with her.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been keeping company with her now ever since
I didn't
time...
know you've been knowing her that long.
No.
I thought all
he
the time...
Was, but I cut him out.
Well, now, that's funny. I was talking to her dad yesterday, and the first
that
thing...
That was your fault. Now, what you should...
I did.
See that, boy?
What?
Now, that's why I like to talk to you.
Why?
Because me and you can seem to agree with one another.
We joking there? By the way, why don't you come up to my house and eat dinner someday?
Eat dinner with you?
Yes.
Up to your house?
Up to my house.
Sure. Why is you dodging rent now?
I live right
my
up.
My brother lives in that same house. I'll be there.
I won't be home then.
Well, when will you be home?
The best time to
that
catch me.
That suits me what hour.
Anytime
that
between.
Early, but I'll be there.
Be suspected.
Ready, my boy.
Let's go right.
Ready, my boy.
There's a new, better way. An appropriate title for the information we bring you now. Next week, a fine cast including at the present moment Donald Meek, Paul Garrett, Barney Grant, The King's Men, and Zane Grey, famous author of Western serials. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
Miss Billy Burke appears in my absolute courtesy of Metro Golden Mayor. The selection Totem Tom Tom and Indian Love Call were from Rosemarie. September Song from Knickerbocker Holiday. April in My Heart from Say It in French. This is the National Broadcasting Company.